American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Happy Monday and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. Man, oh man, we've got a lot to talk about. As you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And there is this real romance with socialism in America today that we're seeing that in culture. We're seeing that at the universities and also in our K through 12 even. And ultimately, socialism has to come down to force. And if something is a really good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to implement it. We continue to see more socialization of key things that help us and make our lives better, allow us to go after our hopes and dreams. We continue to see more and more government intervention into transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare. Across the board, we're seeing that. And that is why this Wednesday, we will be doing our Stand for Colorado rally. This Wednesday is the first day of the legislative session. And last year, 2019, we saw quite a bit of overreach by these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties down at the State House. And we need to come together and let them know that we are watching. And Steve, producer Steve, it looks like the Weather Committee is doing an amazing job. They, as of this morning, we are looking for a high of 59 on Wednesday, a January day. I must say thank you to the Weather Committee. Good Lord, I thank you very much for that weather forecast.
I would agree and say, you know, you really took a big chance here in doing this because of the weather. So to be able to pull down a day like that, yes, you are.
We're very grateful.
Yes, we are.
We are very grateful. So plan ahead. Figure out how you're going to be down there. That's going to be 11 o'clock this Wednesday morning. And we are Americans. We can't just sit idly by and let these PBIs run all over our freedoms and our opportunities. So we need to show up and would love to have you there. I continue to get more and more Facebook messages, you can email me, kim@kimmunson.com, that you're going to be there. And it'll be about probably an hour and a half. I think there's going to be a town hall if you want to stick around in the Capitol. But be sure and join us. If you're downtown, maybe take a little longer lunch and come over. We've got 16 amazing women, women of the West, that will be talking about these important issues that are facing us and how freedom is really the better answer than force. And it's going to be quite a day.
Can I put you on the spot for a second?
Well, it depends. What are you going to say?
It'll be painless, I guarantee. Okay. PBIs, we've coined this phrase, and we know what it means between you and I, and many people have kind of latched onto that. But let's quickly define that. Okay, P, politician, okay, that's pretty safe. We know what a politician is. Bureaucrat.
That would be all of your paid staff, that people that live off of are paid by government, our taxpayers' dollars, and that would be like your administrators. It would be support staff.
Unelected.
They're unelected. So they're unelected. Basically, they are paid somehow through taxpayer dollars, but they are not accountable to the voter. They are appointed or they are hired, and so you can't fire them. And many times, you know, they're making six-figure salaries. They're going to be paid pensions, and yet they're bureaucrats. They're not accountable to the people.
Then the stickiest one, the interested parties, and I would maybe add on another word in front of that: special interested parties. Well, they usually have an agenda.
And typically, you know, what is happening there, and many times it's big business, and they hire lobbyists to go down and craft legislation that would be in their favor. And we've said many times, big business and big government like each other, because big business can use big government to put in rules and regulations and laws that can squash their competition. And once again, that is not supposed to be the way it works. And but that's who you see very active under the Golden Dome right now. And we can no longer think that these folks have our best interests in mind. When we look at recent legislation here in Colorado and across the country, many of these PBIs are all in it for themselves. They do not have, you know, their constituents' best interest in mind. What they're trying to figure out is how can they grease their pockets by taking more money out of your pocket.
It all too often then ends up being an end run around the people, the constituents.
Exactly. And when we saw what happened in 2019, I was reading the paper from this weekend, and it looks like there's going to be even more end runs around the people in this 2020 legislative session. And so join us. It's going to be quite a day. On Wednesday, they're forecasting 59 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day. And come join us. Take a stand for Colorado. And go to the website, standforcolorado.com. There's all kinds of great information there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. You know, this is January 6th. We're really back in the saddle. Last week was still, I think, people were in holiday mode. Now we've got to get serious. It's 2020. And so I want to say thank you to the team. Thank you to you, Steve, to Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all that you do to keep this train on the track. And thank you to all of you listeners. Be sure and tell your friends about the show as well. But I value each and every one of you. Strive for excellence and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And continue to, you know, we want to build character, the American character here, and that's why we talk about these important issues. The show is rebroadcast 10 to 11 p.m. every night, and the show recap and podcast, you'll be able to find that on the website at kimmunson.com. Our inspiration for today, I have this book. Let's see, it's called Treasure Chest. I got it many, many years ago, and it has wonderful quotes in it. And so I thought I'm going to take a look at courage. The 16 women that you see, that you will hear speaking on Wednesday, are all women of courage. And so this comes from a quote from Philip Brooks. And Philip Brooks was an American Episcopal clergyman and author. He was the rector of Boston's Trinity Church, and he was briefly the Bishop of Massachusetts. He's particularly remembered as the lyricist of the Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And he lived from 1835 to 1893. And Steve, I think that you're probably going to recognize this, but this is a fabulous quote. It says, "Oh, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." And that is Philip Brooks. And that truly touched my heart, Steve.
Yeah, right at the very beginning, do not pray for easy lives. I don't know that anything good ever came out of somebody who had an easy life. So,
yeah,
great quote.
So, yes, pray to be stronger men. Okay, our funnies for today. Are you ready for this?
I peeked, and it's a good one.
Okay. A police officer jumps into a squad car and calls the station. He says, "I have an interesting case here. A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor that she just mopped." "Have you arrested her?" asked the sergeant. The police officer replies, "No, not yet. The floor is still wet." One other event. I know we've been so focused on Stanford, Colorado, which is at my website. You can check that out at kimmunson.com or go to stanfordcolorado.com. But we are also starting a salon series. And next Monday night, so a week from today, my good friend Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice will be presenting on the punches to knock down democratic socialism. It's going to be next Monday at Water's Edge Winery. You can go to my website, and all the information is there to get signed up. And it's going to be very important. We need to be able to engage in the battle of ideas. I was at a relative's wedding this weekend, and saw many people from that I've known for many, many years. And the conversations continue to go to these issues that are facing us. And it is so important to be able to get our brains around these issues so that we can calmly respond to, for example, socialism. Why is socialism not a great idea? Helen Raleigh immigrated from China, and she is she's also a columnist with The Federalist. And so this will be a very magical evening next Monday night. I would encourage you to join us for that as well. So let's jump in here, Steve, with probably the biggest headline is the fact that President Trump had given permission to go after one of the really bad guys from Iran and took him out. He was the number two guy from in Iran and another bad guy. And it's been pretty amazing, the response by the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. You know, as many of you know, our embassy in Iraq was attacked. And that basically is, I want people to understand, that is basically like an attack on U.S. soil. And so I think it would be irresponsible for our leadership to not respond to that, Steve.
You say it's pretty amazing when you hear the response from the left. I mean, I feel like a gutted fish after looking at the responses. I can't comprehend how these people think. I just don't get it.
Well, I've thought a lot about it. And I mean, what you? It's okay. It's okay if we have bad guys that attack us and we don't do anything about it. The answer actually has been yes. If you look back over history, the left has stood with the bad guys. I mean, can you honestly believe that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party is, quote unquote, mourning the death of the second in command in Iran, from Iran? I mean, it's just kind of beyond belief to me, Steve, that it's almost like that they are sad that the guy was taken out.
I always hedge on saying this because I don't want people to get the impression that we get all our information and or news from Facebook. But you got to admit, there are some very amusing memes put on there by people who have talent and a great sense of humor. But this one particular one I'm thinking of is two pictures, one over the other. The first one is a mountain of cash, and it says Obama sent cash to Iran, and he did.
You did.
Yes, and then the bottom picture is a picture of a cruise missile, and it says Donald Trump sent missiles to Iran. So,
well, and you know, let's go to break and continue with that conversation. Before we do that, though, as I think many of you know, I purchased my airtime for my shows. And so that means that my sponsors are those that help bring us to the air every morning. And one of my valued sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. And that's actually a story, the relationship that I have with them when I was on city council about free markets. And so they are a very valued partner. And it's playoff time. I mean, yesterday was a big day for playoffs. The Texas Texans, the Tennessee Titans, the Minnesota Vikings, and Seattle Seahawks, they all won yesterday, and they move on to the playoffs. And so, you know, it's January. It's really a fun time to get together with friends. Hooters Restaurants has all these great TVs. They have the best wings in town. And they have plenty of TVs to watch the action. The wings are great. And, of course, the Avs and the Nuggets are in the hunt as well. So Wednesday is Dine-In Wing Day, all the wings that you can eat for $14.99. And if you don't want to cook, you can have Hooters wings delivered to your front door. And in fact, I'm going to have the girls over on Wednesday night, and I will be doing that. So for more information, check out my website, hey, kimmunson.com.
Not just the girls, but Jason and I are coming this time.
Oh, are you? And who invited you? Yourselves?
I'll let him answer that question.
The only way you guys can get in the door is if you show up with some Hooters wings, okay? Okay, let's go to break. I want to continue on with this conversation regarding Iran. Patty has pulled some very important headlines that we want to talk about. So this is Kim Munson. We will be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, where we are looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I guess I should say sometimes force is necessary. We saw some force this last few days with President Trump, where he said, basically, we will respond if you attack American soil. And Steve, you have asked the question that you and I have been scouring headlines and we have not seen that. And why is the number two guy from Iran moving back and forth between Iran and Iraq, you know, freely? Why has that been going on for all these years?
Friday morning when this story first broke, I just got the notion, start looking. And I went around to all the major news outlets that I had time to go visit. And the question is not being asked by anybody. Why was he in Baghdad? And I thought, okay, in the interest of basic journalism and or research, why aren't you asking that question? And I think the reason is nobody wants to know because it messes up the narrative.
It messes up the narrative. And Donald Trump has messed up the narrative. And so our first headline on the national side that Patty had pulled, this is from Fox News, says Trump notifies Congress of warning after lawmakers said they weren't informed about the Soleimani strike in advance. Trump continued issuing threatening warnings Sunday that more action would come if Iran retaliates against the U.S. for the killing of Iranian General Soleimani, which critics have been calling an illegal action taken without consulting Congress. These media posts will serve as notification to the United States Congress that should Iran strike any U.S. person or target, the United States will quickly and fully strike back, and perhaps in a disproportionate manner, he tweeted Sunday afternoon. Such legal notice is not required, but is given nevertheless. Many Democrats in Congress had said the Trump administration failed to consult with the legislative leaders before conducting the drone attack Friday against Soleimani, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, their elite, I don't know how you say that, is it CUDS force?
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus from all the people I've heard.
Yeah, QUDS. And the White House faced a barrage of questions about the killing's legality. Now, wait a minute. I think that you had seen something, Steve, that Obama, I remember different headlines. Obama sent a missile strike and took out some people here, took out some people here. You know, and we didn't see any hubbub about that. We're kind of like, well, that's probably good, taking out bad guys. But I was kind of wondering if maybe he was taking out enemies of some of our enemies. Does that make sense? I mean, my mind is starting to go, what's been going on over there for so long? Because I still can't believe this whole plainful palace of cash thing, but it's been documented that we sent cash, our taxpayers' money, cash to Iran.
Billions with a B.
We sent cash over there when we have veterans that are not getting care here. I mean, I cannot actually fathom how that could happen, Steve.
Well, back to the other question that you just raised regarding Trump or the administration notifying Congress. We live in an age of instant communication, and unless that drone was already in the air, can we not see that possibly the word would have got out quickly to those people in key areas over there that might have caused that guy to withdraw?
Okay, well, let's connect the dots. How long has this guy been the number two guy in Iran? For quite some time, right? John Kerry and Hillary Clinton were secretaries of state. I think it was under John Kerry where we sent all this money to Iran. So do we honestly think that these radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party, if they'd been informed that Trump was going after the number two guy in Iran, who we actually had sent pallets of cash to Iran under the Obama administration, which would imply that we liked them, then do you not think that they would have told him? And actually, the operation was very dangerous to actually do it from a political standpoint. And if it would have not worked out, then can you imagine what the headlines would have been, Steve?
No, I cannot. And I don't know. It's just making a stand and just saying we're not going to be pushed around by these, you know, these people who, I mean, you stop and look at them and realize it. Because I remember when I was just a real young in my 20s and the Iran hostage situation broke,
mm-hmm.
and having a conversation with my parents and saying, you know, the age of our company, the age of our country, and, you know, back then it would have been just a little over 200 years, as compared to the age of a empire or a country like Iran. And why aren't they any more advanced than they were at the time? Certainly they've come a long way since the late 70s. But still, what is the difference in the philosophies and the ideologies that make these two countries do what they do and, you know, exist the way they do, and yet they stick to their guns in the most god-awful ways, and, you know, like, say, public executions, or the way they treat gay people, or you name
it. Or women.
It's a women, treatment of women, and it's almost from the Stone Age, and yet the rest of the world just sits back and kind of goes, oh, yeah, okay, that's just the way it is. You don't want to cross those guys. And here is, you know, a guy in the White House who says, I'm not out to cross them, but when they're doing wrong on the national stage, we're going to act.
Right. When they attack us, then we will respond to that. And so these guys, over the last number of years, I mean, you give them all that money that they could then use to ramp up their terrorist activities. It's really just beyond, it's very difficult to understand that. But do they really think that if Trump would have let them know that he was planning this, that they would have not tipped the guy off? I believe in my heart that they would have tipped the guy off because they did not want to have him taken out. They had a relationship with this guy, I think. And so the fact that he is gone has disrupted, you know, the chain of command over there. And so a couple of other hot headlines that I wanted to hit here is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo defended the American airstrike in Baghdad that killed Soleimani, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the elite Quds force, against criticism from Democrats while backing up President Trump's threat that more action would come if Iran retaliates against the U.S. You know, let me just comment right there. I think that people do not want war. And, of course, we see the headlines that are saying that this could, you know, move us into war. But, you know, I've done so many interviews with our World War II veterans, and what had gotten where Hitler was able to really gain power was where the British under Chamberlain, you know, didn't take any leadership to stand up against him. And you've got to stand up against bad guys, or the bad guys just get bigger. And, you know, Hitler said that he was not going to, you know, take over any other countries, and then he did. And so these people are not honorable people, and so you have to deal with them as who they are. And so I just really don't understand the Democrats. I'm going to go to another headline here, and that is, no surprise on this one, Steve, outspoken Democrats from far-left squad members to 2020 presidential hopefuls. This is from Fox News, wasted little time on Saturday in denouncing President Trump's warning to Iran about possible retaliation for the U.S. airstrike that killed Iran's General Soleimani. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, answered by calling the president a monster. This is a war crime, she wrote, threatening to target and kill innocent families, women, and children, which is what you're doing by targeting cultural sites, does not make you a tough guy. It does not make you strategic. It makes you a monster. Presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts expressed a similar message. You are threatening to commit war crimes, Warren wrote. We are not at war with Iran. The American people do not want a war with Iran. I do agree with her on that. This is a democracy. No, we're a constitutional republic, Senator Warren. You do not get to start a war with Iran, and your threats put our troops and diplomats at great risk. Stop. Former Vice President Joe Biden accused the presidential of irrational behavior. Now, wait a minute. So we have an attack on American soil, on the embassy, and we're not supposed to respond? I can't figure that one out, Steve.
No, but you know, through that list of people that you just read off, I wouldn't expect anything less. So.
Yeah. I think that as we connect the dots here, it looks to me like they really don't care about the people of America. What they really care about is the fact that that a very bad guy was taken out, and for some reason they are mourning his death more than they are wanting to protect America. So, but we're going to go to break here in just a little bit. Before we do that, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line. Jason, what do you think about all this?
Well, you know, when you repeat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's words while I'm on the phone waiting, my IQ drops like 50 points. So I completely forgot what I was going to talk about.
Well, I will remind you what you're going to talk about, but I have to agree. You know, they've taken this. He takes out two bad guys, and they say that he's targeting women and children. And the other thing that is astonishing to me is we have seen where they have actually used women and children, the Islamic activists. We've seen them use women and children as shields. And it's kind of like that is really very cowardly to do that. But that wasn't what we were going to talk about. I wanted to ask you about the Santa Claus rally. You know, you did this great list of Santa Claus stocks. We talked about the Santa Claus rally. Now we're into 2020. So is there what happened with the Santa Claus rally?
Well, what the Santa Claus rally is, Kim, it's kind of an indicator that if it does happen, it's just normal. What you're looking for is years when it doesn't happen, because then there may be an increased chance of a tough market during those years. So the old adage is, if Santa Claus should fail to call, the bears may come to broad and wall. So if the market rallies during the last five trading days of the year and the first two of the following year, that's called the Santa Claus rally. And again, the old adage says if it doesn't happen, it could precede a bear market or a drop in the stock prices. This one's a little bit tough to decipher. You want to go over a few of the numbers over the years?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so since 1950, the rally has been absent 12 times, and we had huge bear markets following two of those in 2000 and 2008. Now, Kim, in the other 10, three times, we had really good moves up with no dips at all, so it didn't work. Three times, if you bought the dip in the market afterwards just right and got in cheap, you were able to see a big bounce. But in those same 3 years, if you'd done nothing at all, you'd have done well also. Four times, not much happened at all. So really, Kim, 10 out of 12 times, you'd have been fine to completely ignore this signal. And only 2 out of 12 times would you have been badly hurt by not heeding it. Now, this is interesting. Both of those times were pre-election years, and I don't know if that's a coincidence or not.
Very interesting. Okay.
But the thing is, we did get it this year, so it doesn't mean a whole heck. There's nothing to look for.
Okay. One other thing. If you've had a chance to take a look at what the market is going to look like today, because there's probably a lot of emotion in the market about all the stuff that happened with taking Soleimani out, or do you think that the market even pays attention to that kind of stuff?
Well, I think it pays attention to some degree, but I don't really know what bearing it has. I mean, we're pretty energy independent. I don't think the market's really too. What's Iran going to do? Are they going to invade our soil? I highly doubt that. So the futures are down this morning, but I'm not convinced 100% that it's related to this. So
okay.
We'll see what happens by the end of the day. Of course, Friday was a little bit tough, and if today's tough too, well, it makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit, but nothing to worry about quite yet.
Well, and that's why if people want to sleep at night, they need to sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and put together plans for each person's their own economic well-being, because each person is different, and you guys are specialized in tailoring plans to each particular individual.
That's right, and each individual should have their input into their plan, and be not be afraid to give your input too about how you feel about the markets. Kim, I had a client call on Friday that said she was feeling nervous, and you know, my reaction is always, okay, well, what do we want to do then? You know, it's not just stay in, don't worry, it's okay. How are you feeling, and what action might you want to take? So that's what I think you're talking about when you say everybody's different and everybody's plan can be different. You have to give your own input too at times.
Well, that's for sure. So I would recommend that people sit down with you, do a you don't lock the doors, sit down and have a discovery session. It doesn't cost anything. And I know that if you think people are in a good spot, hey, stay there. If there's things that you can do to help them, you guys will do that. So check out our landing page together. It is AIR, like AIR, presidential.com. That's AIR, presidential.com. And Jason and all the folks over there at Presidential, the podcasts are there, all kinds of great information. Jason, thank you so much. Let's talk again tomorrow. And I know that if your schedule allows, you're going to try to be at the Stanford, Colorado rally.
Yes, I am.
We appreciate that very much. The weather's going to be beautiful. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with one of our fabulous women of the West, Carolyn Martin. Jason, have a great day.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And be sure and check out our Stand For, F-O-R, Colorado, .com website as well. It has all the information about the rally that will be on Wednesday. Thrilled to have on the line with me Carolyn Martin. She will be one of our fabulous women of the West that will be speaking about homeschool freedom. Carolyn Martin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me.
The weather looks like it's going to be great for Wednesday.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome.
And we really are encouraging people to come and join us. But homeschool freedom, explain why this is so important. You know, we are looking at these issues, Carolyn, as freedom versus force. And why is it important that you stand for homeschool freedom?
Well, you know, people think that homeschooling is some new phenomenon that has happened in the last, 50 years. But really, it's not. It's something that was started from the beginning of time, really, home education. And it wasn't until the early 1900s when states started passing these compulsory attendance laws that we started seeing this force come down in the education system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, states started passing these compulsory laws that just wiped out all education except public education. And the Supreme Court at that time said the child is not the mere creature of the state. Those who nurture him and direct his destiny have the right, coupled with the high duty, to recognize and prepare him for additional obligations. They understood that the family was the bedrock of society, but not so today. Today, there are judges and legislators and professors who do not believe that. And as a matter of fact, Professor Dwyer, a law professor out of William Mary, has said it's the state that empowers parents to do anything with children, to take them home, to have custody, and to make any kind of decision about that. And that's the kind of force that we're pushing back against when it comes to home education.
I don't think that people, a lot of people, understand just what seems to be at play here. And I see this as a big question of, you know, who's really in charge of our kids? Is it our families or is it government? And government typically doesn't do a great job at things that are not their core functions. And I think it's so important that families have these choices. And certainly it's a commitment when a family decides to homeschool because it takes a lot of time, preparation. But there's a great infrastructure for people that decide to do that as well.
That's true. I mean, that's the organization I work for, Christian Home Educators of Colorado. We support thousands of homeschoolers across the state in trying to do this thing called homeschooling.
Do you anticipate, are you seeing anything as you have your ear to the ground on this 2020 legislative session? Is there things that you think might be coming down the pipe that we should be concerned about?
Well, last year there was some concern because of a news article that had come out claiming that homeschooling was hiding abuse cases. And that's happening all across the country. And there's a coordinated attack against homeschooling and wanting to regulate them further. So we've seen across the nation various attempts to try to regulate homeschooling further than it is right now. But in Colorado, I've been asking around and haven't heard anything, but we never know.
Well, and I think that's why people need to understand these issues, because we're talking about freedom, the freedom for people to educate their children the way that they see best. And, you know, children are different. I mean, kids in the same family are different. And so it's important to, I think, protect these different options for parents to have as they're choosing the education for their children.
That's so true. And I think that's why I brought out this whole thing about parental rights, really, because home education is founded on parental rights. If we can't, you know, take care of our children, if we can't direct their medical care and the upbringing of our children, education is just another thing to them, to the people that want to take that away. And we have lost parental rights here in Colorado, and that is a big concern.
Well, and I think that people are starting to wake up to that. So I'm very, very excited. What's kind of the last thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners as we prepare for the rally on Wednesday?
I'm so looking forward to this. I think we need to get the government out of our kitchen and come to the rally, and you'll hear what I have to say about that.
Get the government out of our kitchen. I like that. So, well, Carolyn Martin, we will see you on Wednesday. We're looking forward to it.
Great. Thank you, Kim.
And on the line with me is another fabulous woman of the West, and that is Nicole Hunt. And she will be speaking regarding religious freedom at the rally on Wednesday. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning, Kim. Thanks so much for having me on. I love your show. You're the voice of freedom here in Colorado, and what you're doing is so important. We've got to hold our elected officials accountable to the people. So I'm honored to be with you here today. Let's talk religious freedom.
Well, and religious freedom is one of the bedrocks. It is in our Bill of Rights. It is important for people to be able to, you know, practice their religion every day without being chastised, without government intervening. And we've seen a real assault on that, particularly here in Colorado, Nicole.
That's right. We saw this especially last year with House Bill 1032. We saw the transgender progressive movement trying to push a sexual agenda, not just on our children, but on our families as well. And, you know, there's rumblings that there's going to be something similar to what has been passed in Washington State, a type of transgender bill that requires transgender education and bullying protection introduced in this session. So I think people need to pay attention. They need to be watching, and they need to be ready and willing to step up and to do something, to engage in the process and say, no, not on our watch.
Well, you know, and another thing, Nicole, that we had seen, this was, you know, the whole case with Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop. And I think you and I, we both know Jack Phillips, and he does not, quote unquote, discriminate. He would sell his products to anyone. He didn't say, you're not welcome to come in and buy my product. Where he had, had a line for him was that he believes in the traditional definition of marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman. And this was before even same-sex marriage was made legal here in Colorado. A same-sex couple came in and asked that he bake a cake for their celebration. He respectfully said, I just can't do that because it goes against my religious beliefs. And the Colorado Civil Rights Commission hauled him into court, I guess they basically came out and said, if you don't do this, then you cannot bake wedding cakes. Nicole, I found that astounding. I mean, we are in a world of hurt if we have government agencies that come in and say, if you don't do or believe X, then we're going to take your business via rules and regulations. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's terrible, and it's rights of conscience. It's rights of religious freedom to be able to live out your faith in the public square. I mean, the First Amendment does not protect your freedom to only practice your faith in the privacy of your home or in the privacy of the four walls of your church. It protects your freedom to practice your faith in the marketplace and out in the public square. And so that is what we have got to continue pressing for, because the progressive agenda does want to limit our freedom to the walls of the buildings that we live in or the walls of the buildings that we worship in. And that is not what the First Amendment does. The First Amendment protects our right to freedom in all places and at all times.
Okay. Nicole, I want to circle back on something, and that is a question. When the Centennial Institute, I think, had Supreme Court Justice Scalia in town, of course, this was before his death, I asked him this question about separation of church and state. You know, it seems like the radical progressive agenda has used Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists about his assurance that there would be a separation of church and state, that the government and also in the Bill of Rights, it says that Congress shall not establish any law, you know, establish any religion. And if religion is a quote-unquote belief system, and we are seeing a religion of, you just mentioned this, this transgender agenda, and so by pushing that agenda, that educational agenda, into our schools, isn't government promoting a religion? Now, I know that's kind of a far-out question, but yet I think it makes a lot of sense. What would your comments be on that?
Right. Yeah, I actually think it does make a lot of sense. You know, I think it's interesting that a lot of times people try to say, well, this is more of a secular, non-religious perspective and point of view. The truth is that secularism itself is a philosophy and a type of religious belief that people who follow secularism, who are atheistic or just don't want any entrenchment of anyone's moral belief that's related to a religious faith, they adhere to this idea of secularism, and it is like a religion. It's the religion of the government to try to root out any other type of moral influence besides the influence of the government itself and what the government says is right or what the government says is wrong. And I think how we saw this play out in Colorado is it was a progressive agenda that was being forced upon our kids last year through public education. You know, in Colorado, not only are we talking about problems with, you know, violations of the U.S. Constitution, we're also talking about problems of violations of the Colorado Constitution, particularly when it relates to enforcing agendas on kids at the school level in public school, because the Colorado Constitution protects local control, and it protects the rights of individual school districts to be able to make the decision of what values they want to promote in their schools and what agendas they want to embrace. And so I think especially here in Colorado, we're talking about not just protecting these U.S. constitutional rights of freedom, but also these constitutional rights in our state constitution that protect families and local communities to be able to make those decisions that are consistent with their values.
And Nicole, so your point is so well taken. This is not only, I think, unconstitutional from a national level, but it goes against the Colorado Constitution. And let's just think about it. From a free market, if you have different school districts that are in control of their particular curriculum, and if, say, a family is not happy with the curriculum over at School District A, they may move to school district B. And then you have the free market, you know, as people are moving around to these different different school districts, and you're seeing people vote with their dollars and their feet on how they want their kids to be taught. And so, again, this top-down approach in education is of great concern, and it's all wrapped up in religious freedom.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I am so excited that you will be one of our Women of the West speakers. And Nicole, one other thing, people have said, why all women? We have 16 amazing women. And it seems like the radical activists on the left have always said that they stand for women. And so it was a conscious decision on my part to invite each of you 16 amazing women to speak so that we can show that it's women that are standing for freedom, that are standing for Colorado, to push back on that radical activist narrative. So thank you so much. I can't wait to see you on Wednesday.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. God bless, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Sounds great. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Megan Kirk. She is another one of our Women of the West, and she will be talking about medical freedom. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. All kinds of great information there. We've got the links to standforcolorado.com, or you can go directly there, obviously. And then also, next Monday night will be our event over at Water's Edge Winery with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. And that is the Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. So be sure and join us for that as well. I'm really excited to have on the line with me another of our really terrific Women of the West speakers who will be speaking at the rally on Wednesday, Megan Kirk. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim.
And you'll be talking about medical freedom. And medical freedom looked like it was under assault this last a legislative session here in Colorado. Why is it important that we maintain medical freedom?
Well, that's important on so many levels. Medical and freedom, you know, it includes the right to choose your treatments, to choose your medications. So let's say you have, it doesn't really matter what you have, but you want a medication that has fewer side effects. We don't want to be locked into any sort of medical mandates that, you know, give the state the power to choose what we have to ingest or inject. Our bodies are our sovereign right to protect.
Now, Megan, what we're seeing in one of the things that really, I guess, flagged me last year was what I saw as this forced vaccination legislation. And I was a little late to that because there was like over 600 bills that were introduced. I first of all have to ask, do we think we need any more laws? I'm not sure. I think we need any more.
No, honestly, Kim, I think what we need is a protection of our citizens here in Colorado as a start against medical mandates, against the pharmaceutical industries, because unfortunately, medicines have so many side effects. And what happens is we release one onto the market and we force its uptake kind of through our prescription programs by telling people this is what you have to have. And then 4 years later, we're seeing, you know, side effects of death and cancer. We could look at Vioxx. We could look at Zantac. Some of these medicines have been on the market for a long time. Now, with vaccines in particular, our government has found them to be unavoidably unsafe, meaning how they're manufactured and how they're given, we know absolutely, they're going to have side effects. So because we know the side effects can include death, We must have choice.
Well, and so I think people want to be informed. I vaccinated my kids. Of course, that was a while back. I was vaccinated as a child, and it seemed to make sense for those particular vaccinations. However, I think that it is important that parents have all the information. And so I think that informed consent is important. And we were just talking with Nicole Hunt regarding, free markets, if you will. Free markets, informed consent, where people can look at this and they can say, okay, I see that there's these potential side effects. I see that there is these potential benefits, and I can make that choice. And that seems to be, well, that's off the table when you have government mandates.
It is. It's completely gone. Informed consent, they're kind of skirting around doing that anyway. For example, with Vioxx, we knew years ago that it was dangerous, but they kept prescribing it for, I think it was 3 or 4 years after it was pretty well known it was causing, for example, stroke. So informed consent did not work in that case. And as far as vaccines go, they give us this little tiny sheet that says, this child might have a fever or the flu recipient might feel down for a couple of days. But what they're not giving us is the manufacturer's insert, which actually has the a little bit of a longer-term looking at what the vaccine has done and the effects. And so people would call in their adverse reactions. We have a system here in the United States to call in our reactions for vaccines specifically. They have taken over 58,000 or 67,000 reports since 1988. Most of us as Americans haven't even heard this. Like, for example, we don't know how many reports of adverse effects for Gardasil and what those are. I think standing now, there's over 500 reports of young women dying.
Now, is that the HPV one?
That's the HPV.
Okay.
And when you're given the information at the doctor, you're not given any of that information. You're not really given the negative side. For example, they continue to say that particular vaccine fights cancer. But what we're seeing in circles today, and for example, they're studying it in France. They're seeing higher rates of HPV cancers after the vaccine. Well, I, for one, would like more research, and I certainly want the choice whether I would, want that for my child, because I'm actually aged out of that. You know, Kim, you were talking about your vaccines. When I was a child, I think I had three. Was fully vaccinated up until I was in college. So then in the 80s, I think those children had on their schedule, anywhere from 5 to 8 doses to injections. So today, I think it's sitting at 16 vaccines that are mandated, but it's 69 doses for children from birth to 18. And from that first year for infants, we're looking at a schedule here in Colorado, I think it's 21. And nationally, I think it's 26 injections.
Okay,
or doses. Some of them are oral.
Megan, I've talked with people about this, and they've said, "Well, I don't think that we have in the state that I'm in, that we have that many, required vaccinations." And so, right now, is it like a recommended to get to that that higher number, or what is that?
Yeah, there's a couple things that go on. So the CDC has an advisory committee. It's called the ACIP, Americans Advisory on Immunization Practices. So the ACIP approves the vaccine for the schedule or doesn't once the FDA has approved a vaccine. For example, the FDA in December approved the live Ebola vaccine for use here in the United States. Well, some people are aware, not all, that live vaccines have the potential to shed. So now that vaccine is approved by our FDA, then the ACIP is welcome to put it on their schedule. Now, what happens in Colorado, we actually employ a stakeholder process with our Board of Health, And the stakeholders, I do not know the year, but the stakeholders decided on the Colorado schedule for our children. And again, we have all of our exemptions. That's one of the things we fight for. We have a philosophical exemption, we have a medical exemption, and we have our religious exemption. We're very thankful for our religious families standing up with us on this. Now, we have our exemption.
Megan, I think we're just about out of time. And this is so important because as I looked at this is, you can have a recommended schedule, but as I looked at the legislation last year, I saw that there could be potential force where these PBIs could force families, things. And so that's why it's so important.
There's three vaccines that we do not mandate here that are on the national schedule. It's flu, HPV, and rotavirus. If we go to the national schedule, those will be mandated with the new legislation.
Well, and Megan, the other thing that I saw is looking into the future, what could we then have added and added and added and added? And so that's why I think we really need to have this conversation. So I'm excited that you will be speaking on Wednesday at our Stanford, Colorado rally. I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely.
So we'll see you. We'll see you on Wednesday, Megan. Okay.
All right, thanks so much.
You bet. And we are out of time, but our quote for today is Phillips Brooks. He said, "Character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry.